I hope you don't mind that I wore my flapper dress today, Bill.
No, it looks good on you. A lot of people can't pull those off, Wendy, but boy, you look
all
great.
All people have pulled it off.
Yeah, I bet. I can imagine.
We are going to talk about the 24th annual World's Fair Memorabilia Show. It's happening this Sunday, and the World's Fair historian, really the only one we know, Rick Rann, is in the studio. Rick, how are you?
Hey, Bill and Wendy, how you doing?
To Wendy's point, does anyone know more on the planet about the World's Fair than you? I don't think so.
There probably are, but...
Are there really?
Yeah, wow. There's a lot of people interested in it. Yeah. It really affected a lot of people in the Chicago area. 39 million people went to it over 2 years.
Wow.
That's unbelievable. I didn't know we had that many people back then.
Yeah, well, they came from all over the world to come to the World's Fair.
It was that big of a destination, right?
It was a big destination.
Yeah.
All right, brief history of it. 1933 was when it happened.
Right.
And what was the reason for it? Just to put Chicago on the map? What started it?
Well, they usually have World's Fair every 4 years, and they're approved by the International Consortium of World's Fair, I don't know the exact organization name, but they approve them. And they had them in 1904 in St. Louis, 1893 in Chicago, the Columbian Exposition for the 400th anniversary, a year late, of the founding of Columbus, 1492 to 1892, but they didn't get around to doing it until 1893. They had them every 4 years all over the world. So they decided to have it in Chicago, and they called it a Century of Progress, referring to the founding of Chicago in 1833, the 100 years to 1933.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me, when I see pictures, you bring in these fascinating pictures. It reminds me of that place of progress in Disney, kind of.
At Epcot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just what I would equate it with. Disney did come to some World's Fairs, and that's what it is. It's like a permanent exhibition.
So it's kind of a tip of the hat to the past, but it's also a, hey, if you think things are good now, wait till you see what's coming down the pike, right?
They
want to showcase what the future holds for
us. Previous World Fairs a lot of times would have like gold medals for the best pickles or whatever, you know. But this fair was a big corporate event because a lot of companies had working factories. Chevrolet had a working factory at the fair. You could stand on the second floor and look down in the General Motors building and see Chevrolet cars being assembled on an assembly line. They would roll off, and they'd have a special plaque on the windshield saying, assembled at the Chicago World's Fair.
How about that?
And then they also had paintings all around the second floor of the General Motors building, which showed murals from each state showing which products were made in that state to make into cars, and those murals after the World's Fair were given to Lane Tech High School here in Chicago, and they're still all over Lane Tech, and
very
you can
nice.
Go in and see them if you call up.
Very nice.
That is so cool.
And a lot of times, things that are commonplace to us now are first introduced, like the Ferris wheel, right? Nobody had seen a Ferris wheel until
right.
the World's Fair.
I mean, and this Ferris wheel in 1893 at the Columbian Exposition is enormous. I mean, each car held, I believe, 80 people.
Yeah. Oh,
80
geez.
People. I mean, it was... I believe a couple hundred feet high. I mean, it wasn't just like the Ferris wheel. I mean, the Ferris wheel they built out here now is larger, but this thing was enormous. 80 people. I mean, it's just amazing.
I can't even imagine that. You brought pictures, which people will be able to see, and we'll talk about where the memorabilia show is going to be held, Elk Grove Holiday Inn. We'll give you all the information. But you brought some photographs and or some drawings, some sketches of what was going on, and you mentioned something that keeps sticking in my mind. It was just temporary building.
Yeah, this fair was done with all private resources. There was no public funds involved. A lot of times you hear now, oh, we're going to have the World's Fair here, and they were planning, I think Byrne was going to try to have a World's Fair here in 1992, but that kind of fell through. But, you know, we thought, well, geez, how much money would have been wasted on that, public funds? This was all done through private funding, so...
Corporate sponsorships, that sort
corporate,
of thing.
They sold exhibit space,
but
also they had people in 1927 sign up. They would give $1,000 to become founder members, like the McCormicks, the Insulls.
Yeah.
They would give $1,000 to get seed money. Then they also got just regular people to pay $5 to join the World's Fair Legion. And for that $5 they gave in 1928, they would get a book of 10 admissions.
Oh.
And they signed up about 128,000 people for that. So that raised $600,000. And then another way they did it is they got some bigwigs. The person running the fair was Rufus Dawes, and his brother was former Vice President Charles Cutler Dawes. Mm-hmm. And they were able to raise funds through guaranteed notes, where they would get all these people to loan the money to the World's Fair, and they would be paid out of gate receipts.
Oh.
And at the end of the World's Fair, after the second year of the World's Fair, they ended up paying everyone back and actually having a profit,
a
which they donated
profit.
To local institutions. Another way they raised funds is this was during the Depression when they started building it. Companies would be paid in scrip. The companies would say, sure, we'll get our people working.
Yeah.
And you'll be paid out of the gate receipts.
Yeah.
And I mentioned, you know, this stuff was just temporary. It kills me to think that those buildings were torn down. And I said, isn't that a waste? But you said, not really.
Well, when you see how amazing Art Deco these buildings looked, you think, wow, it's a shame these didn't stay after the World's Fair. They wouldn't have lasted. They were just meant to be a temporary buildings for 6 months, because that way they could build them cheaper and not have to put as much money into building them.
But was there a safety concern that went along with
that? And
that
makes me think of the Ferris wheel.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that Ferris wheel, they never had any problems in 1893. They didn't have any safety problems, but they did have to touch up after 6 months. It was supposed to end in November of 1933. Near the end of the fair, they decided they still owed money in the bonds, and it was still doing very well, so they decided to hold it over for another year.
Oh.
None of the buildings had heat. That was another way to make them cheap, except for the administration building. So I remember talking to people who actually worked there and said they froze, because it was right on the lakefront between Roosevelt and Pershing, including Northern Isles. So they were freezing, because you know how it is in April, May, June, July.
Especially
right.
now.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It could have snow on the ground.
You know, when we see the pictures of these buildings, to us they look very old and retro, but for the time they were almost
modern.
Futuristic.
Most of them were very futuristic. Frank Lloyd Wright wrote a scathing review of them. He didn't like the buildings. But this wasn't going to be the White City. Like 1893 was classical architecture.
Yeah.
They called it the White City. Everything was painted white, marble. This was more like a rainbow. They had a palette of Joseph Urban. A set designer had a palette of about 22 colors, which all the buildings had to use. So
They were required to use a combination of those.
But it was the first large use of like gypsum or wallboard, and they painted them in these wonderful paints, pinks, greens. The Travel and Transportation Building, this enormous building under a breathing dome, was painted in light green. Yellows, cobalt blues, just amazing colors. Most of the pictures you see are black and white, but when you see color pictures, you go, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
What was Frank Lloyd Wright's beef? Just too flashy? Is that what he was
saying? He didn't like the way it looked.
The lines were not good for him, I would imagine.
He likes more boxy.
He didn't think this was true architecture.
Boy, he would have hated the Lucas Museum if it ever came here. Soldier Field, what they did to it.
Yeah.
The toilet bowl in there.
It's the 24th annual World's Fair Memorabilia Show. It takes place on Sunday at the Elk Grove Holiday Inn. We'll give you more information in just a little bit. Rick Rand is our guest. If you have any questions or comments, we're easy to reach. We're 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Say, Billy, would you like to go to the World's Fair with me?
Absolutely.
It's the 24th annual World's Fair Memorabilia Show. It's happening this Sunday, April 22nd. Hours are 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And it's going to be at the Elk Grove Holiday Inn, 1000 Bussey Road. That's Route 83 and Landmeyer Road in Elk Grove Village. And our show's World Fair historian, Rick Rand, is in the studio. You can go to World's Fair Show, right? WorldsFairShow.com?
Yeah, all one word.
Okay. So again, he's showing us some pictures, which you have to go to the show to see, but you're explaining how the buildings were very colorful, and you're right, we just see them in black and white. I didn't know for a minute that they were so colorful. And then at night, like, just such a light show.
At night they would have a lighting ceremony where one by one the buildings would be lit up. A spotlight would come from the Hall of Science, which captured light from the star Arcturus, which was 40 light years away. So the light that started when the 1893 World's Fair was going on started the lights at the World's Fair, and one by one, they would switch flip a photoelectric switch, and then the spotlight would hit the travel and transport, and that would light up. And they, one by one, they would light them up each night. And also they had, this was probably the largest use of neon tubing because the patent had just expired, so they were allowed to use it for a cheap price. So they all had, all the buildings had neon tubing and gaseous tubing of reds, greens, yellows, just amazing.
And you mentioned, because we couldn't quite figure out what this picture was, and again, you can see these pictures. We should take a picture of this to put on our Facebook page to show you. But you mentioned in the photo, Northerly Island was shown, and I heard you say to Bill that they added landfill to make it bigger. They did, I don't know any of this stuff.
Yeah, they added about 40% more landfill to increase the size of Northerly Island.
And that, for the fair itself?
For the fair, yeah. It was on the west side of Northerly Island and included the lagoon and then Northerly Island. All the buildings went, you could walk, it was probably 2 miles long. And then they had the Sky Ride, which was like the Ferris wheel, and that went from Northerly Island to the other part of the fair.
It's so strange to see an area that you're accustomed to seeing, but with an alternate reality.
Oh, you know? Exactly, yeah.
Can we take a couple of phone calls?
Sure.
Janet's on the line, 312-981-7200. Hi, Janet. Rick Rann is here. Big show for the world's annual World's Fair Memorabilia Show this Sunday.
Hi. Hi, Bill and Wendy and Rick. Bill and Wendy, I always listen to your show. My favorite.
Oh, you're so kind.
Janet.
Thanks.
I have about 40 black and white tiny little pictures, about 2 by 3 inches, of all the lots and lots of buildings and rides from the 1933 World Fair, and I have color postcards. I was wondering, my dad took it, and I was wondering, is there any value to these photos and postcards?
Are the photos ones he took himself, or
yes.
Are they like souvenir ones that they sold?
Not 100% sure, but I think he took them himself.
Why are they so tiny?
Oh, they had a 2-inch by 2-inch up to a larger size. I have probably 5 or 10,000 snapshots that I've bought from collections over the years.
But they're more valuable if Janet's father took them, right?
Yeah, because then it's a rare. You might have that one of a kind shot.
Yeah,
which just, you know, the one of a kind shot which someone, you know, might capture that one moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he took them because they're not all centered beautifully.
Yeah, I mean, if they're blurry, they're people kind of walking to the side, then yeah, he probably took them. And souvenir ones usually will have printed on the front of them, you know, the Travel and Transport Building, Chicago World's Fair, 1933. So they probably are ones he took.
What do you think they might be worth? Ballpark. I mean, I guess it's hard to tell.
Snapshots from $1 to $10. I mean, you know, if it's a great shot of, say, the House of Marbles. House of Marbles.
Did you live there,
what's
Bill?
The House of Marbles?
House of Marbles.
I went in.
Was the Master Marble Company had glass walls filled with marbles, so it looked like a House of Marbles, and on top it had a huge globe shaped like a marble.
How
and
cool is this?
The Master Marble Company sold packets of marbles there. Only in 1933. They left in 1934. They couldn't afford it, I guess.
They lost their marbles.
They lost their marbles. But those little sets of marbles in the original boxes from the World's Fair go for $100, $200, $300, $400 for the marbles. That's one of the most expensive things.
Look for those, Janet. Maybe you'll find some of those in your house. And what if Janet can't make it? I don't know if you can go to the show at Elk Grove Holiday Inn on Sunday. What should she do if she can't make
it? She can email me pictures of some of the photos if she goes
Thank
to the
you.
Website.
All right, the website is worldsfairshow.com, all one word. Thank you so much
Thanks,
for calling.
Thanks, Janet.
Thank you.
And Sarah wants to talk to us as well. Hi, Sarah.
Yeah, hi guys. My father in 1933 was 16 years old, retired from a staunch Irish Catholic family. He got a job working at the Orange Julius stand. He snuck away from work to go watch Sally Rand, the fan dancer.
How scandalous. He was never the same. You never saw him again.
Wait, Orange Julius?
They had a House of Marbles and an Orange Julius?
Orange. Yeah. I know they had orange. I didn't know Orange Julius, but they did have orange there. Yeah, they did have all kinds. They had hundreds of restaurants and booths.
Why don't we ever recreate this? Why doesn't this happen again? Taste of Chicago is a sorry excuse for this.
This was huge.
Sarah, thank you for calling.
Sure, you're welcome.
I just sounded like Sarah Palin there. Thanks for calling.
For people who don't know of Sally Rand, she would do it was
she would do the fan dance, supposedly naked, but probably wearing a bodysuit, yeah, like a nylon or something, and she would flip the fans so that you that darn fan would just get in the way, so you couldn't see this, what you wanted to see.
Yeah,
and every so now and then. They would get busted, and they would drag her into court. And I remember one judge said something like, "You're a bunch of these are just a bunch of boobs. Get out of here," something like that.
And she did this later in her life.
Oh, she did it into the '50s, into the '60s.
Yeah.
Like at places and displays, because
yep,
you'll see the cards showing her from 33, and a lot of times they're autographed because she'd go out and autograph photos for people.
What was her name?
Sally Rand.
Rand with a D.
Rand. I looked up Sally Ride. I'm like, you guys are messing this up.
She did not do that.
Rand. She put the Rand in there.
And Randy.
Yes. All right. So what can we expect to see over in Elk Grove Village? This, again, is the 24th annual World's Fair memorabilia show. We have Rick Rand on almost every year since I've been here. Elk Grove Holiday Inn, 1000 Bussey Road, Route 83 and Landmeyer Road. It's happening this Sunday. What else? What is some of the special things we might see if we go?
We show one and a half hours of newsreels and home movies from the World's Fair of 33 on video. There's a display of 1933 fair memorabilia and photos, including an architectural model of the Sears building, which I was going to bring down, but it was like 3 feet long.
Oh, that's okay.
I can't really get it in here. There'll also be 20 tables of items, dealers and collectors selling thousands of items from the 1933 Chicago World's Fair, and also items from the 1893 Columbian Exposition, along with items from other World's Fair. You can bring down your items to see what they're worth, and there's just thousands. It's just amazing. Everything from little snapshots to postcards, thousands of postcards, over the years, we've had a rickshaw cart that someone brought down from the World's Fair, uniforms from the World's Fair.
That's excellent. There's a caller who has a question. We don't have time to get to it, but I'm just going to give you a brief version. They want to know if Devil in the White City brought a renewed interest to the World's Fair. It had to.
Huge.
Us.
And before then, the 1893 common tickets, which they had after the World's Fair, would sell for $10 to $15. The Devil in the White City is such a fantastic book. It brought so many young people into it. The average age before the collector seemed to be 60, 70, 80 for 1893. Now you have, 18-year-olds, 20-year-olds, 25-year-olds, kids coming to collect 1893 stuff because it was such an interesting time and it was such a great book. So the tickets now that used to be real common, they're still fairly common, but they're going for $20, $30, $40, $50, $75, $100. It's amazing.
I'm just watching video on YouTube of Sally Rand, and I want to get some fans like that. They're all feathery and beautiful.
You have to get some.
That's pretty amazing.
Can Wendy perform at the convention?
I'll have to work on it for next year.
Sure, if she practices,
you're going to sell a lot of tickets.
Rick, it is a pleasure, and thank you. You always bring something very unique for us. The WLS Music Radio 89, this wasn't the Silver Dollar Survey. What is this?